This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم اهد قلبي وسدد لساني واسلل سخيمة قلبي آمين يا رب العالمين. Insha'Allah, today we will begin with the story of Adam alayhi salam in the Quran. And the reason why we begin with the story of Adam alayhi salam in the Quran is because Adam alayhi salam was awwalul bashar. He was the first human being, and he was also the first prophet. And the first story among the stories of the prophets in the Quran is in fact the story of the creation of Adam alayhi salam. And this is why it is best to begin this series of stories from the Quran with the story of Adam alayhi salam. Adam alayhi salam, who was the first human being on earth, the first prophet, and his story is also the first story in the Book of Allah. We learn in the hadith that a man asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Anabiyyan kana Adam?" Was Adam alayhi salam a prophet? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, "Na'am, yes, he was a prophet, and he was also mukallam," meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him directly. Generally, we think that Musa alayhi salam, you know, he is the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to directly, because Musa alayhi salam is kalimullah. But he is not the only prophet with whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with directly. We learn that minhum man kallama Allah. Among the prophets are those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with directly. And among them is, of course, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke with directly at the occasion of Mi'raj. And also before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to Adam alayhi salam directly, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also explained. Adam alayhi salam was chosen by Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Adam alayhi salam above the rest of the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that Inna Allah astafa Adama wa Nuhan wa Ala Ibrahim wa Ala Imrana ala al-alamin. That indeed Allah chose Adam, and Allah chose Nuh, and Allah chose the family of Ibrahim, and Allah chose the family of Imran over the worlds. The question is, how exactly did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose Adam alayhi salam? Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Adam alayhi salam by giving him preference over the worlds, as we see in this ayah, عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ, meaning over the entire creation. How? First of all, by creating him by his own hands. Secondly, by blowing the soul into him, the ruh into him. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose him, gave him preference over the rest of the creatures by commanding the angels to make sajda to him, to prostrate to him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Adam alayhi salam by making him stay in Jannah, subhanallah. And he lived in Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Adam alayhi salam by giving him knowledge, by giving him wisdom, by giving him the intellect, the ability to have free will and also have self-regulation, by which he became superior to the rest of the creation of the time. And this is why the children of Adam alayhi salam, the descendants of Adam alayhi salam, are also superior to the rest of the creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. And certainly we gave honor to the children of Adam alayhi salam. So think about it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored Adam and also the children of Adam. And for this favor, we should thank Allah azza wa jal. The favor that He made us human. He could have made us into any other creature. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to make you and I into human beings. He made us the children of Adam. And this is a huge privilege, a huge honor. Now, Adam alayhi salam is called Awwalul Bashar. And he's the first human being. And he's also called Abul Bashar, the father of all humanity. And we learn in a hadith that on the day of judgment, the believers will go to Adam alayhi salam and they will ask him, Ya Abana, istaftah lana al-Jannah. That, O our Father, have the gate of paradise opened for us. So they will address Adam alayhi salam as who? As their father. They will say, O our Father. And he will reply to them that it was nothing but the mistake of your father that brought you out of paradise. So I am not worthy of having its gates opened. Go to my son Ibrahim, the friend of Allah. So in this hadith, we see that first of all, people will call Adam alayhi salam their father. Secondly, he will also refer to himself as their father, the father of humanity. And then he will refer to Ibrahim alayhi salam as his son, right? He will say that, go to my son Ibrahim. So Adam alayhi salam is the first human being and the father of all humanity. Now, Adam alayhi salam is mentioned 25 times in the Book of Allah. And his story, the story of his creation, and the story of how he was in Jannah, and then how he was removed from there, this story is mentioned in several places in the Quran. It is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, it is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, it is mentioned in Surah Al-Isra, in Surah Al-Kahf, in Surah Taha. And this means that the story of Adam alayhi salam is repeated in the Quran. Yani it is mentioned many times in the Quran. But it is mentioned in more detail in three places. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah Al-A'raf, and Surah Taha. Yani there is more detail in these three surahs. Now, first thing I want to clarify is that when we see that the stories of the prophets are repeated in the Quran, they're mentioned in one surah and then they're again mentioned in another surah, what is the wisdom behind that? Because typically, we would think that if a story has been told once, then that is sufficient because people know about it now. It doesn't need to be related again, right? And typically it happens that when someone tells you a story of their life once and you get to know them better, but then they repeat that story again, and you're like, yes, you listen along as if you're listening for the first time. But then if they repeat it a third or a fourth time, you say, yeah, you told me that before, right? You get bored of listening to the same story again and again, right? So why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repeats the story of Adam alayhi salam in the Quran? Because first of all, This teaches us that the Quran is not a book of information alone. It doesn't just give us knowledge and information. No, the Quran is for the purpose of guidance. And when you are guiding, when you are reminding, then you don't just mention something important once. You mention it repeatedly. And you mention it each time in a different way. So, this teaches us that the stories in the Quran are not for the purpose of information. They are for the purpose of guiding us. Secondly, the repetition of the stories indicates the importance of these stories. Yani, these are stories which are very important for us to know, which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has repeated them in the Quran. And thirdly, when a story is repeated over and over again, what happens is that the listener is able to remember it and know it very well. They're able to grasp it. They remember every detail. Because the first time you hear a story, it is possible that you miss some details, right? You overlook some details. You don't pay attention to certain things, or certain lessons don't click. But then when the same story, you hear it, you read it the second time, you notice things that you missed the first time. You learn things that you missed the first time, right? And your knowledge, your overall knowledge of the story, it becomes stronger. Then the repetition of stories in the Quran also reflects the different audiences that the Quran addresses. Because we see that, for example, the story of Adam alayhi salam is mentioned in Surah Al-A'raf, right? And Surah Taha in great detail. And both of these surahs are actually Makki surahs. And in Makki surahs, primarily, it is the non-Muslims who are addressed. So the style of narration is different, all right? On the other hand, Surah Al-Baqarah, where the story of Adam alayhi salam is also mentioned, is a Madani surah. And in Madani surahs, it is mainly the Muslims who are addressed. So again, the style is different. And you will notice that when you tell a story to one person, you relate it in a way that they can understand it, that they will be able to benefit from it. But the same story, when you relate it to a child, then what happens? Your language is different. Your vocabulary is different. The details you focus on are also different, right? So the repetition reflects the different audiences who have been addressed when these stories have been related. Then we see that the repetition of the stories in the Quran also shows us the eloquence of the Quran, because the same story is being repeated, but in a different style, with different words. All right, so it shows us the eloquence, the richness of the language of the Quran. And then finally, the repetition of the stories in the Quran also establishes the truth of the Quran. Because when stories are made up, then what happens? People over time, if a person invents a story, right, about what they did, for instance, they will give one version to one person, and the second time that they are narrating that story, they will maybe say something that contradicts the first version, right? And over time, you see that the lie is exposed. But the stories in the Quran, even though they are repeated, they are consistent. Yani, in spite of repetition, there is no contradiction. There are different details that we find in different passages so that we can develop a more detailed and thorough understanding, but there is no contradiction. So the story of Adam alayhi salam is mentioned more than once in the Quran, and our goal will be to go over all of the verses that talk about Adam alayhi salam. And inshallah, what I'll do is that as we're going over, for example, a passage that talks about the story of Adam alayhi salam, any verse that is similar, that is mentioned elsewhere, inshallah, I will quote it there. All right? So first of all, let's go over the overview, basically, of the story of Adam alayhi salam. Okay, the overview, a brief overview of the story of Adam alayhi salam. What is the story of Adam alayhi salam? We see that before the creation of human beings, before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had already created angels and the jinn. The angels were made from light, and their purpose is to engage in the praise and glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. And it is well known that the angels never disobey Allah. So that is what the angels were doing from before, before even Adam alayhi salam was created. Jinn were made from fire, and jinn have free will. So of course, among them are those who are righteous and those who are not. And before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, different creatures already existed, all right, within the heavens and also within the earth. Different creatures already inhabited the earth. And according to many scholars, it is the jinn who predominantly inhabited the earth. Just like right now, you see that it is people who predominantly inhabit the earth. It doesn't mean that they're the only creatures that inhabit the earth. No, they predominantly inhabit the earth, meaning no matter where you go, it is basically human beings that you will find, right? Now, before, it was the jinn who predominantly inhabited the earth. And on account of their free will, they created a lot of mischief on earth. They caused bloodshed. And they were immersed in sin and in disbelief. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intended to create a new creation and inhabit that on earth, replace the jinn with the human beings on earth, he informed the angels about that. So the angels inquired, they asked, that will you place on earth a creation that will cause mischief on earth and cause bloodshed? The angels made that assumption that this new creation will cause mischief on earth, will cause bloodshed. Why? Based on their prior knowledge of what the jinn had done on the earth. So the angel said that we are already worshipping you, we are already glorifying you. So essentially, there is no need to create another creation, especially if that creation will also cause bloodshed and mischief on earth. So there is no need. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded that I know what you do not know. I know the good in creating this creation, and you do not know of that good. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from clay and blew the soul into him and created his wife Hawa and brought out the souls of all of his children to be born until the day of judgment. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam. Why? So that all of why? In order to establish the superiority of Adam alayhis salam over the angels and by extension, all of the creation. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded the angels to prostrate to Adam, it is well known that all of the angels prostrated in immediate obedience to the command of Allah. But Iblis, who is a jinn and was among the angels at the time, refused to obey the command of his Lord. And his refusal was based on pride and thinking, great of himself. He was displaying arrogance and he gave the justification that I am better than Adam, so it does not befit me that I should prostrate to Adam. And due to his refusal and disdain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed Iblis from his presence and rendered him rejected and cursed. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala caused Adam and his wife Hawa to stay in paradise and told them to eat freely from wherever they wanted and how much ever they pleased. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pointed out a tree to them and told them to not eat from that tree at all. Now, when Shaitan learned that Adam and Hawa are forbidden from eating from a particular tree, he got busy in trying to cause them to slip and eat from that tree. So Adam alayhis salam fell to the trap of Iblis, and both Adam and Hawa ate of the tree, because of which the garments of paradise were taken away from them, and they were also removed from paradise. Adam alayhis salam realized his mistake, and he repented to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted his repentance and forgave him and chose him for his prophethood, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him to the earth and caused the human race to grow and thrive on the earth from Adam and Hawa. So this is the brief overview of the story of Adam alayhis salam. Now let's see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the story in the Quran. How, first of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informed the angels about the fact that he was going to create Adam alayhis salam, and how the angels responded to that. And then inshallah we'll talk about how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam. So in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً قَالُوا أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءَ وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ And recall when your Lord said to the angels that indeed I am going to place a point in the earth, a khalifa, a successor. The angel said, Will you appoint in the earth someone who will cause mischief in it and someone who will cause bloodshed? While we glorify you with your praise and declare your purity? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, That indeed I know what you do not know. The ayah begins with وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ and recall when your Lord said to the angels. The word إِذْ means when, and there is an implied command over here that أُذْكُر, recall when such and such happened. Yani, remember the time, recall the time when your Lord said to the angels. And in this is actually an indication for us to imagine, all right, what, you know, this conversation, to imagine this incident, you need to bring that to our mind. Why? So that we can follow closely, so that we can be present in the story, we can pay attention, and we can we can relate with it, and we can understand it better, and we can take lesson from it. So, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ and recall when your Lord said, meaning take yourself back to that time and recall, imagine in your mind, think in your mind, when your Lord said to the angels. The angels, malaika, the word malaika is derived from uluka, which means to send messages, all right, to deliver messages. And the angels are called malaika because this is what they primarily do. They deliver, they carry out the messages, the instructions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala within the universe. And the best of this is that they deliver Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's speech, and his revelation to people. And this is why Angel Jibril is the best of the angels, because his role was to deliver Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's word to his messengers. Now, the angels are a world of their own, and they are a creation that is separate from human beings, that is separate from the jinn. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created them from light, and they're known for their purity because they do not commit sin, they do not disobey Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has assigned them different tasks which they carry out within the creation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to the angels, وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing the angels that I am going to appoint in the earth a successor. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the angels the good news that a new creation will now inhabit the earth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing them. Why? Because this matter would affect the angels, right? Because the angels carry out different tasks within the universe, and now all of a sudden, on the earth, there's a new creation that is going to predominantly inhabit it. So the angels need to know. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs them from before, right? Even though he is not obligated to, as if he is giving them a good news. In Surah Sad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّنْ طِينٍ When your Lord said to the angels that indeed I am going to create a human being from clay. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ Indeed, I am one who makes, one who appoints. And in Surah Sad, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنِّي خَالِقٌ I am one who creates. Now notice, it has not been said that أَنِّي أَخْلُقُ that I am one who, that I am going to create. Yani a verb has not been used, right? Rather, a noun has been used. Ja'il, khaliq. Ja'il is maker, appointer. Khaliq is creator. So a noun is used instead of a verb. Why? Because a noun, grammatically, is stronger than a verb. Yani, when you use a verb, it shows that the action is being done only once, all right? And it's just being done right now. But when a noun is used, then it shows that this action is done repeatedly, or it's done in a stronger way. Yani, when a noun is used in place of a verb, it shows that the action is stronger. There's a difference between saying, I am cooking, from I am a cook. Yani, there's a difference between saying I am cooking versus I am a cook. Yani, a cook is noun, right? Yani, someone who is known for cooking, someone who is a master, someone whose specialty is cooking, someone who knows how to cook. And if someone says I am cooking, well, that doesn't tell us anything about their specialty, their strength, their ability to cook, and the way in which they will cook, right? Likewise, if someone says, I am teaching versus I am a teacher, right? There's a difference. I am teaching means I'm just doing it right now. And I'm a teacher means that this is my profession, right? And there's difference in level of skill, which indicates difference in the way that the action is done. So when a noun is used in place of a verb, it shows that the action is much stronger. It is much more perfect. And it is certain, even if it has not yet occurred. So, inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa means that I am certainly one who appoints on the earth a successor, meaning there is no doubt about this. I am certainly going to do this. This is factual. This is going to happen. And there's no doubt about this. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Now, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that I am going to place on the earth a khalifa? Why is Adam alayhi salam being referred to as a khalifa? Well, first of all, the question is, who exactly is a khalifa? Khalifa is a successor. Yani, someone who comes after someone has departed. Okay? Like, imagine there is a CEO of a company and then they retire. So they will be succeeded by a new CEO. So the new CEO is who? The Khalifa of the previous CEO. All right? So Khalifa is who? A successor. Then the word Khalifa is also used for someone who is appointed, all right, on behalf of someone in their absence. So imagine there is a class teacher, all right, who is for some reason not able to be in her class. So is she going to leave her class unattended? No. What's going to happen? There is going to be a supply teacher, right? So that supply teacher is there in order to do what the main teacher is not able to do, right? She's taking her place. She is her representative, right? So this is also one of the meanings of Khalifa, a representative. Here, what does Khalifa mean? It does not mean representative, because no one can be the Khalifa of Allah on earth in that sense. Okay, it does not mean that Allah is no longer able to pay attention to the earth, and so someone else is needed to take care of the earth. No way. That is an incorrect understanding. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Khaliq, the Malik, the Mudabbir of the earth. Right? He is قَيِّمُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَنْ فِيهِنْ. He is the caretaker, the provider, the nourisher, the protector of the heavens and the earth, and whoever is in them. He is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. Yani the entire creation depends on him. Right? So he is constantly guarding. وَلَا يَؤُدُهُ حِفْظُهُمَا. He is constantly guarding and protecting the heavens and the earth, maintaining them, looking after them, causing them to live and exist. And their existence depends entirely on him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not appointed Adam or human beings as his representative on earth. No, he is actively providing for and taking care of the earth. So what does Khalifa mean over here then? Khalifa over here means, first of all, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed Adam as the Khalifa on earth, as in the one to implement the law of Allah on earth. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has appointed Adam and his children as the creation that will predominantly inhabit the earth and will establish the law of God on earth. All right? And if you think about it, among all the different creatures that exist on the earth, it is the human beings that predominantly exist, right? And you go to any continent, you go to any terrain, you go to any climate, you will find human beings, right? And because human beings have, traveled to different parts of the earth and inhabited there, different creatures have also gone along with them, right? And also we see that as human beings inhabit different parts of the earth, they're the ones who, for example, construct buildings, roads and things like that. And the rest of the creatures don't do that, even though they have a lot of skill. Like, for example, elephants are very strong, right? But elephants don't make roads, right? Monkeys are able to use their hands and feet, very quickly. But they don't make stuff in factories, right? So neither the jinn do this, nor the birds, nor the animals, nor the angels. It is human beings who do this kind of work on earth, that they inhabit the earth as appointed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has inspired human beings different skills and the knowledge to do different things. So for example, Dawood alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him how to make chainmail, right? Iron was made malleable for him, so he was able to make chainmail with iron, right? So this is one meaning, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint Adam alayhi salam as the Khalifa on earth, meaning one who will predominantly inhabit the earth. Secondly, what this shows us is that before Adam alayhi salam, the earth was already inhabited by different creatures. All right. And there was another creation that predominantly lived on earth, and they were removed. They were caused to go extinct or removed, and Adam alayhi salam replaced them. So he succeeded them. All right. He succeeded them. Adam and his children succeeded them. And this is something that makes a lot of sense, because when you, for example, learn about how old the earth is, for example, you take a basic biology class, even basic science class, and you find out that the earth is millions of years old. And then, there are fossils that, people have found that are millions of years old. All right. And you find out about, different, you go to a museum and you see, for example, a bug that has been fossilized and that lived before perhaps thousands of years ago. And we know that human history is not that old. So you wonder, how is that possible? Isn't Adam alayhi salam the first human being? Adam alayhi salam is the first human being, but he's not the first creature to live on the earth or to inhabit the earth. So different creatures predominantly lived on the earth, all right? And they were succeeded by Adam alayhi salam. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Khalifa means that Adam alayhi salam succeeded the previous creatures that predominantly existed on the earth. And this meaning is very, very plausible. The third interpretation is that this creation is going to succeed one another. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, meaning this creation is going to succeed one another. So one generation will be succeeded by another, which will be succeeded by another, which will be succeeded by another. All right. And this is true, of course. Adam alayhi salam, he was succeeded by his children, who were succeeded by their children, who were succeeded by their children. And this, has been going on since that time and will carry on until the Day of Judgment. But if you think about it, this is not unique to human beings, right? We see, for example, cats, right? Cats are succeeded by other cats, which are succeeded by other cats, which are succeeded by other cats. All the creatures on the earth are like that, that they live on the earth generation after generation, right? Now, another interpretation is that Khalifa over here means that the prophets of Allah, all right, they are appointed by Allah, yani to carry out, to establish his law, and the rest of the people are their successors. Okay, so Adam alayhi salam, he was given a law by Allah, which he established, and then his children, they succeeded him in implementing that law, in living that law. And then after some time, Nuh alayhi salam was the messenger. He was given a law which he established, and then the people after him, continued to establish that law. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran that وَهُوَ الَّذِي جَعْلَكُمْ خَلَائِفَ الْأَرْضِ, that He is the one, Allah is the one who has made you people the khala'if on the earth, yani the successors on the earth. You are the predominant inhabitants on the earth. All right. So what happened when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels that inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa, what was the response of the angels? Qalu, they said, ataj'alu fiha man yufsidu fiha wa yasfiku ad-dima, are you going to place in the earth someone who is going to cause mischief and cause bloodshed? The angels asked this question not as an objection, and this is very important to understand. The angels do not disobey Allah. And if they do not disobey Allah, that means that they would never disrespect Allah, right? They always glorify and praise Allah. So they would never, ever disrespect Allah by objecting, by raising an objection against his decision, all right? The reason why the angels are asking is because they want to understand. They want to know the wisdom that why? Why is another creation replacing the present creation if this new creation will succeed them and will have, free will and will cause, will create mischief and cause bloodshed? What's the benefit? If the purpose is that they will worship Allah, well, we are already worshiping Allah. So they wanted clarification. They wanted to understand. And this shows us that it is perfectly fine to ask questions as long as they come from a place of respect and they come from a place of curiosity and a place of wonder. Asking questions from a place of arrogance, from a place of criticism, that is wrong. We see in the Quran, people who asked why the Qibla was changed. They said, مَا وَلَّاهُمْ عَنْ قِبْلَتِهِمُ الَّتِي كَانُوا عَلَيْهَا, what has turned the Muslims away from the Qibla which they used to follow before, which they used to face before? That question was coming from a place of criticism. It was coming from a place of ridicule. coming from a place of arrogance. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called such people as sufaha, foolish. The angels are asking from a place of genuine curiosity, all right? And they want to understand. So their question was not wrong. Now, they said that أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا, someone who will cause, who will create mischief in the earth, fasad in the earth. Now, fasad is to, ruin something, to corrupt something, all right, such that it is no longer within its range of normalcy, okay? It is not normal, it has now become corrupt. So for example, if you have food, right? And let's say you have yogurt, all right? And the first day the yogurt is really nice and fresh. The second day you see that some water has separated from it, all right? The third day again, you see that the water has separated from it. Now, let's say you forgot to refrigerate it. And the next day you see that the yogurt is, it's become, it has a strange smell. And then you see that it has some mold on it. So it is no longer within its normal range, right? So it now it has become spoiled. It has become corrupt. This is fasad, all right? So they asked that, are you going to place on the earth someone who is going to create mischief, meaning someone who is not going to let things remain normal? He is going to cause disorder. Like, for example, the earth needs, a certain amount of foliage on it, all right, trees, in order to clean the earth, in order to clean the air, right, in order to sustain the creatures that exist on it. But when human beings destroy foliage, trees, and forests, all right, what happens as a result of that? As a result of that, that balance has been disturbed, right? And as a result of that, so many ecosystems have been destroyed, so many creatures are going extinct, all right? So this is fasad. أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا. Fasad is not just in a tangible sense, it is also in the intangible sense. Fasad is also to disobey Allah. Because when people disobey Allah, then what happens? They end up harming one another, right? For instance, part of obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that either you speak well or you remain silent. And you don't say words that are hurtful. And hurtful words include mocking people, all right, insulting them, okay? Now, if, for example, in a room, you're sitting with someone and you are talking in a good way, you're saying something nice, all right, you're talking in a normal way, everything's good, right? It's a good vibe. But if you insult them, one insult even, one statement in which you're poking fun at them, you're disobeying Allah, all right, first of all, but then what's going to happen? You're going to ruin the vibe in the room, right? Everyone's going to feel on edge, right? So, and the relationship between you and that person is going to get damaged. So, fasad is not just in the tangible sense, it's also in the intangible sense. To cause corruption in the earth is to ruin the earth physically, and to also commit sin and disobedience. أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا, they asked. And this is the thing, when people have free will, they end up committing both kinds of fasad. In our greed, all right, we end up disturbing the balance on the earth, and in our greed, following our ego, we end up disturbing people, committing oppression against them. So أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا. The second thing they said, وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاء, you will cause bloodshed. الدِّمَاء is a plural of dam. Dam means blood. So يسفك الدماء, he will shed the blood of many. يعني he will cause a lot of bloodshed. يعني people will kill one another. Subhanallah. How did the angels know that people will create mischief and cause bloodshed? How exactly did the angels know this? Because they're very right in what they said. First of all, they knew, they had this hunch, because they knew that this creation is going to be Khalifa on the earth, right? And if this creation is going to be Khalifa on the earth, succeeding the previous creation, all right, going to be like them in terms of free will, then they're going to repeat the same cycle, right? The creatures before caused corruption, the creatures before caused bloodshed, and they will also do the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-Hijr, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونٍ وَالْجَانَّ خَلَقْنَاهُ مِنْ قَبْلُ مِنْ نَارِ السَّمُومِ. And certainly we created the human being from clay, and the jinn we created before from fire. So the jinn were created before human beings, and the jinn committed fasad and caused bloodshed. So the angels assumed that people would do the same thing. All right. Qatada said that the angels said this because they had seen the previous creatures on earth do this. Any whoever that creature, those creatures were, whoever those creatures were, this is what they did on earth. They caused fasad and bloodshed. All right. Secondly, they understood from the word Khalifa. Okay, Khalifa. That Khalifa technically is who? Yani someone who is supposed to be a leader of his people. And as a result of that, what does the Khalifa do? Resolves disputes, right? One of the meanings of Khalifa, I told you, is that Khalifa is, yani the prophets implement the law of Allah, they establish the law of Allah, and the people succeed them in establishing that law. So establishing law means what? That you are going to judge according to that law. You're going to judge what? You're going to judge in regard to the differences that arise, right? The divisions that arise. So they understood from the word Khalifa that this creation is going to differ, all right, from one another. Yani people will have differences, and those differences will have to be resolved. And where there are differences, we know that things can get very ugly, right? People, when they have differences with one another, they become very violent. They become very destructive. They become very oppressive. They cross many limits. So they understood from the word Khalifa that people will have differences, and by extension, there will be fasad and bloodshed. They said, وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. And we glorify with your praise, and we also sanctify you. We declare your purity. And we're always doing this, O Allah. Right? And if the purpose of creating human beings is that they should worship you, well, we are already worshiping you night and day, and we do not get bored, and we are constantly engaged in your glorification. Now, نَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ. نُسَبِّحُ is to declare the perfection of Allah. All right? To declare that Allah is free of any deficiency, of any fault, all right? Of any resemblance to the creation. To declare that Allah is free from all of this and above all of this. But they say, نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ. We glorify you with your praise. Yani, on the one hand, we declare that you are free of any deficiency, any fault, any resemblance to the creation. And at the same time, we also affirm your perfection, your excellence by praising you. Bihamdika, ba is of musahaba. Yani along with your tasbih, we also do hamd. And hamd is to praise someone by mentioning their excellent qualities. Right? So nahnu nusabbihu bihamdika. وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ And we also declare your purity. Subhanallah. Taqdis is to declare purity that Allah is worthy of. All right? And Quddus is the being who is pure of any association, any partnership, and is free of the need of associating with others. So we declare your perfection along with your praises, and we declare your complete purity, your perfect purity, and the fact that you are free of any partner, free of needing to associate with others even. And they say, نَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ only to you. Lam over here shows us, lam over here is of ikhtisas and also istihqaq. What this means is that we declare only your purity. And we declare purity that you alone are worthy of. You alone are worthy of. And this shows us that the angels, they are creatures who glorify Allah and praise Allah. Subhanallah. And this is their job. This is their nature, that they glorify and praise Allah. And when they speak, they say words of praise and glorification to Allah. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked that which speech is the best, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied, the speech which Allah has chosen for his angels, and that is subhanallahi wa bihamdihi. And he, out of all the words that you say in your waking hours, the words subhanallahi wa bihamdihi are the best words that you utter. The words in which you glorify and praise Allah are the best words that you can say. So say them frequently. Yani, first of all, this teaches us that we should not busy ourselves in saying things which are useless, which are unnecessary, which will be a burden on us on the day of judgment. All right? And secondly, what this shows us is that we should busy ourselves in the glorification and praise of Allah. Yani, we should increase in that. I'm not saying don't talk to people. No, what I'm saying is talk purposefully and say good things. Stay away from useless conversations. And secondly, also increase in your glorification and praise of Allah. Sometimes what happens is that our hands are busy, all right, doing something that doesn't require much mental presence, but our lips are also pursed. I mean, they're closed, they're zipped. All right. Sometimes we're waiting for someone in the car. We're driving. All right. We are doing something. Or for example, we're just laying down. You know, we're doing dishes and things like that, folding laundry. And our lips are just zipped up. Don't do that. While your hands are busy or not, move your lips in the glorification and praise of Allah. Increase in your remembrance of Allah, especially while you're fasting. Increase in your reward like that. Now what happened? قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, indeed, I know what you do not know. Allahu Akbar. Yani, I know what the benefit is in placing this Khalifa on the earth. And you do not know that benefit. I know the purpose which this Khalifa will fulfill on the earth. And you do not know that purpose. Subhanallah. And yes, while there are among people who cause fasad and who cause bloodshed, there are also many whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to be anbiya, prophets. And you think about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What perfection he was. How amazing, how excellent he was. His character, his manner of speech, his dealing with people, his ihsan, the way that he worshipped Allah. Subhanallah. Yani he would worship Allah even though his sins were forgiven. And he would worship Allah so much that he would cry and his beard would become wet. He would stand in prayer and his feet would become swollen. And why would he worship Allah? From a place of gratitude. He would say, should I not be a grateful slave? Can you, when Allah has favored me so much, should I not be a grateful slave? So if there was no Adam, if there was no human beings, there would be no Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know what you do not know. I know that in the children of Adam, there will be people who will be anbiya, who will be prophets, who will be siddiqeen, those who are very, very truthful, extremely truthful, like Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. If there were no human beings, there would be no Abu Bakr. And look at the siddiqiyya, the truthfulness of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. Isn't it so amazing that how he believed in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and supported him? There will be shuhada. There will be salihin, righteous. There will be among people who will be sabireen, who will have patience, who will put their trust in Allah, mutawakkileen, who will be mutatahireen, who will purify themselves, cleanse themselves, who will be at-tawabeen, who will repent to Allah, who will be mustaghfireen bil-ashar, who will get up from their night sleep, all right, and seek forgiveness from Allah before dawn. So, inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. I know what you do not know. Now look at the response that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives. I know what you do not know. It's not a lengthy response, all right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not justify anything over here, does not give any further explanation. He just says, I know what you do not know. And because of this response, the angels do not ask a follow-up question. Why? Because there is no room to ask. This answer is so complete, this response is so complete, inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun, that there's no room for a follow-up question. And this is a very important thing. Sometimes when we're asked about why we are doing something, all right, we become very defensive and we start explaining and we start clarifying things. You don't always have to do that. Be confident about what you're doing. You don't always have to be defensive and justify what you're doing and give lengthy answers. Likewise, you do not have to get angry when someone asks you. You do not have to show irritation when someone asks you. No, just say something like, I know what I'm doing. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. It doesn't have to be the only answer you give, but definitely an answer you give when you are criticized. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. Now, there are some important lessons that we can take from this ayah. First of all, we learn from this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ, when your Lord said to the angels, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks. Then we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala honored the human beings by giving good news of the creation of Adam alayhi salam to the angels. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. Thirdly, what this ayah shows us is that the first human being, all right, was a human being. And he was placed on the earth, all right? Meaning he was placed on the earth by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as a human being. Yani the first human being did not evolve from some other creation. When it comes to the story of the theory of evolution, we see extremes within Muslims. There are some those among Muslims who completely reject the concept of evolution completely. But then what happens is that when they go and sit in biology 101 in university and they learn about basic evolution, you know, they begin to question their faith, right? And then they just resort to blind faith, all right? And they say science is one thing and faith is another, and there's no way that I can bring the two together in my heart. So it's just two compartments in my life. And when it comes to faith, it's just blind faith. All right. Then we have another extreme within Muslims where, subhanAllah, there are those among Muslims who have no difficulty saying that Adam evolved from some other creation, from the Homo sapiens, etc. Right? What is best is the middle way. And that is that, okay, based on our scientific study and observation, okay, the theory of evolution makes sense that, yes, creatures have evolved over time, and perhaps creatures have evolved from other creatures. However, Adam alayhi salam is an exception to the rule. And the creation of Adam alayhi salam is a miraculous creation. All right? Why? Because this is an exceptional creation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning it to the angels. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. This is something unique. This is something extraordinary that's happening. This is something miraculous that is happening. This is something that is not the norm that is happening. So whether the theory of evolution makes sense to you or not, any general evolution, macro evolution is basically what I'm talking about, that's up to you. But when it comes to Adam alayhi salam, the human beings evolving from other creatures, that is not something that we believe in. Why? Because it is different from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us of. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that He created Adam alayhi salam and He placed him on the earth. He did not evolve him from some other creation. So the creation of Adam alayhi salam is miraculous. And it is an exception to the rule. It is something extraordinary, which is why it is mentioned to the angels. All right? Then we see in this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, إِنِّي جَعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. And in Surah At-Teen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Certainly we created the human being in the best form. All right, which means that Allah did not evolve the human being from apes. No, He created human beings in the best form. وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ. Certainly we honored the children of Adam. All right. And then we see in this ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He informs the angels of the creation of Adam alayhi salam as if He is giving a lot of importance to this fact. Right? Meaning a lot of importance to the creation of Adam alayhi salam. It is something tremendous, something huge, something very significant, extraordinary. All right? And then we see how fasad and bloodshed are definitely negative things that we must stay away from. And we see that the angels do not like fasad. The angels do not like bloodshed. And we also see that the angels busy themselves in the worship, in the praise and glorification of Allah, which we should also busy ourselves in order to gain rewards from Allah. One thing is that the angels said about themselves that we glorify you and we praise you. And if someone were to say about themselves that I praise Allah and I thank Allah, okay, and it might come across as if, you know, they're boasting, as if they're showing off, all right? But this is not the case. The angels are not boasting over here. They're not showing off over here. They're simply informing, they're simply stating, in fact, that they're just stating their quality, something that they do. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, for example, if you say that I am a hard worker, you're not necessarily boasting. You're mentioning you're stating your quality, your strength, right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also said that ana sayyidu, that I am the leader of the children of Adam, wala fakhr, and there is no boasting in that. I'm not saying this in order to boast, but I will be the leader of the children of Adam on the day of judgment. And I'm not boasting. So what is wrong is that when you think very highly of yourself and you talk about your qualities and your strengths in order to show off, that is wrong. Your intention matters. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not declare yourselves to be pure. But if you're just stating a quality, there's nothing wrong with that. And we also learn from this ayah that the angels do not know the knowledge of the unseen, right? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that I know what you do not know. It is only Allah whose knowledge is perfect. And then we see that where we do not understand something, where we do not know something, then that is where we surrender our minds to Allah, right? And the angels could not comprehend the wisdom behind the creation of Adam alayhi salam, right? But they did not ask another question after that. They said, yes, Allah, you know, right? They just trusted Allah. Inni a'lamu ma la ta'lamun. Similarly, if there is something in the religion or in the creation that you struggle to comprehend, that is where you accept that Allah knows what I do not know. And you surrender that entire matter to Allah. And trust me, this is what will bring you peace. Now, a few things about Adam alayhi salam's creation. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from clay, okay, from mud. And this mud is described in the Quran in a number of different ways. First of all, we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran that Adam alayhi salam khalaqahu min turabin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him from dust. Then we learn in Surah Sad that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّن طِينٍ. I'm going to create a human being from clay. In Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِّنْ حَمَإٍ مَسْنُونٍ. We did certainly create man out of clay from an altered black mud. In Surah Al-Rahman, مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ كَالْفَخَارٍ. From clay like that of pottery. Now some people, when they see that, oh, the mud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from, you know, it's so different. In one place, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he created him from dust. In another place, he says that he created him from clay. In another place, he mentions that he created him from altered black mud. So they just look at the surface and they say, oh, see, there's contradiction in the Quran. This is not contradiction. This is lack of your comprehension and lack of your reflection. What is meant is that you see the dust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from underwent many changes. Okay? Turab is dust that is dry. Teen is mud, yani dust, when it is mixed with water, it becomes wet clay. So teen is wet clay. All right, which was previously dust, which was previously turab, but it was mixed with water and it became teen. Now, when you leave teen for a long time, all right, and you leave it wet for a long time, it becomes hama, it becomes black mud, and the color darkens, all right, it becomes hama. And if you leave it even longer, that hama becomes sticky, and its texture changes, and its smell also changes. And that is called masnoon, altered, all right, and malleable, because now when it's sticky, you can actually make different things out of it. You can mold it into different shapes and forms, all right? Now, when you leave it after that, when it dries up, it becomes salsal. Because when it dries up, it becomes clay like that of pottery. So when it dries up and you touch it, it will make a sound. So this mud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from was first turab, dust, which was turned into teen, wet clay, which was turned into hama, black mud, which was turned into masnoon. It became altered and malleable, could be molded into a form. And then once made into a form, It was turned into salsal, like that of pottery. All right. So this shows us that the clay underwent different stages before Adam alayhi salam was created from it. And this mud that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam from was actually taken from different parts of the earth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that inna Adama khuliqa min thalathi turubat, that Adam alayhi salam was created from three types of clay, of dust. Sawda, bayda, hamra. Dust that was black, that was white, and that was red, yani of different colors. And in another hadith, we learn that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, he created him from clay that he took from different parts of the earth. Yani that dust was taken from different parts of the earth. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained that the children of Adam vary so much in terms of their color, just as mud is not all the same color, yani soil is not all the same color. There is black soil, there is red soil, there is white, yani light colored and dark colored and brown. Just like that, among people are those who are white, those who are black, and somewhere in the middle, all right? And this is why people also vary in terms of their nature. Some are sahl and some are hazan. Some are very soft, easy to deal with, and some are very difficult to deal with. There's stubbornness and harshness in them, right? There are those who are tayyib and those who are khabis, those who are good and those who are bad, right? Why? Because Adam alayhi salam was made from such soil that was taken from different parts of the earth. And so his children reflect that variation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, he created him by his own hands. And this is why no creature has superiority over Adam alayhi salam. We learned that Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created four things by his hand. The throne, his throne, the qalam, the pen, with which the decrees of the creation were written, Adam, and Jannatul Adn, yani the garden of eternity, paradise. So Adam alayhi salam, and not the angels, not the jinn, not any animal or bird or anything on earth, only Adam alayhi salam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him by his own hand. And this is how the creation of Adam alayhi salam is extraordinary. It's not like the creation of other creatures. It is a miraculous creation. It is a unique, extraordinary creation. It is different from the rest. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam in the best form. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ ثُمَّ قُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمْ. And certainly we created you. And we created you in the best form. We shaped you in the best form. ثُمَّ صَوَّرْنَاكُمْ. And then we told the angels to prostrate to Adam. And when it comes to the form, the appearance of Adam alayhi salam, in a hadith we learn, and this hadith has been reported in many books of hadith, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala khalaqa Adama ala suratihi, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam in his form. And typically in Christianity, this is understood as God made Adam in his image. All right? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ala suratihi," on his form. Now, what does that mean? That means, "Ala suratihi" means in his, yani in Adam's complete form. Okay, meaning Adam alaihi wasallam was created in his complete form. Yani he did not go through the stages of development as the rest of the people do. Yani when a human being is created, any human being other than Adam alayhi salam, how are they created? They go through different stages of development. So their form changes over time, right? How you looked when you were a child is very different from how you look now. In fact, how you looked even 10, 15 years ago, perhaps could be very different from how you look right now, right? People's physical appearance, their facial features, they change. Their height changes, the length, the proportion of their body changes, right? For example, children, when they're little, they have very short arms, big heads, right? If they put their arms over their heads, they cannot join their hands together. But you can do that as an adult because you have longer arms. The proportion changes over time, right? But Adam alayhi salam was not created like that. Adam alayhi salam was created in his complete form. So he did not go through the stages of development as the children of Adam go through them. Another interpretation of this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam ala suratihi, in his form. His means God's form, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's image, all right? And what that means is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears, sees, speaks, all right? And he has many other attributes, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also created in Adam, right? In people. So Adam spoke, Adam could hear, Adam could see, all right? But of course, the seeing, the speaking, the hearing of Adam is that which is fitting for Adam. It is not like the hearing, the seeing, the speaking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All right? Of course, there is nothing like Allah. Laysa kamithlihi shay. There is nothing like him. All right? There is nothing that is similar to him. There is no one like Allah. فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. Right? But what is meant is that there are traits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created in Adam, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself has. All right? But of course, the traits of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sifat of Allah, are not like the sifat of people. Okay? Because Allah is not like his creatures. Okay? Then we learn that Adam alayhi salam was created very, very tall. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, he created him in a height of 60 cubits, very tall. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also told us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam on Friday, okay, after the time of Asr. Okay, and basically what we learn from another hadith is that Adam alayhi salam was the last creation to be created. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that Allah created the clay on Saturday. He created the mountains on Sunday. He created the trees on Monday. He created the things entailing labor on Tuesday. He created light on Wednesday. He created the animals to spread on Thursday. And he created Adam on Friday after Asr. The last creation at the last hour of the hours of Friday. Now, even though the authenticity of this hadith is disputed, what we can learn from this definitely is that Adam alayhi salam was the final creation to be created, the last creation to be placed on the earth. Meaning there's no other new creation, okay, that's going to be created and placed on the earth. He is the final creation to be placed on the earth. All right? And one thing I want you to understand is that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned different days, it doesn't just mean like the days of the week as we know them. The word yawm in Arabic applies to a period of time. Okay, so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created, fi sittati ayyam, in 6 days, it doesn't mean 6 days as we know them. It could mean six periods of time. Okay. How long each period of time is, Allahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Okay? But what we can definitely take from this hadith is that Adam alayhi salam was the final creation to be placed on the earth. Why? Because his creation was the finality. Okay? Before the creation of Adam alayhi salam, his sustenance had to be created. Right? So this is why all the other creatures were created before, the trees were created before, light was created before, everything else was created before, Why? Because Adam alayhi salam's sustenance depends on their existence, right? And it is because of Adam alayhi salam that the rest of the creation was created. So they had to be created before him. And the main thing is that the best is for the last. Okay? Think about it. The best book, the Quran, is the final book to be revealed. The best messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the final messenger to be sent. Right? So the best creation, Adam alayhi salam, human beings, are the final creation on the earth. After them, there will be Yawm al-Qiyamah, the Day of Judgment. Right? And we also learn that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the body of Adam alayhi salam, he left it for some time. And Iblis came and began to go around it and observe it. And when he saw that the body was hollow from the inside, he said, I will win against him because this is a creation that will not be able to overcome its desire. Subhanallah. And Iblis said that he's hollow from inside. He's got a stomach. He's got a cavity inside, right? Also the lungs, right? And that means that there is a need that needs to be fulfilled, that emptiness has to be filled, right? So Iblis perceived that as a weakness. And yes, it is a weakness, which is why we have to be very careful that we fill that emptiness that is inside of us, not just with fulfilling our desires, but with the worship of Allah. Because if we take the root of desires, then yes, shaitan will have the better of us. But if we fill that emptiness within with the worship of Allah, then we will, then shaitan will not have any power against us. And we learn that in Surah Al-Hijr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blew into Adam alayhi salam the ruh, the soul. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes that ruh as ruhi, my soul. It doesn't mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put his own, yani that Allah has a soul and that soul he put in Adam. No, what means is ruhi, as in the ruh that I own, the ruh that I made. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala attributes something to himself, he's honoring it. Like for example, when Allah says baytullah, right? The house of Allah. It doesn't mean that Allah lives there. No. It is rather a house that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored by choosing it, by giving it preference over the rest. It is there for the worship of Allah. So when nafakhtu fihi min ruhi means the ruh that I have made, the ruh that I own, that only I can put. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, we learn in a hadith that when the soul was blown into him, and as it reached his head, he sneezed. And the first thing that Adam alayhi salam said was, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praises for Allah, the Lord of the worlds. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, Yarhamukallah. May Allah have mercy on you. And this is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy overcame his wrath. Yani this is when the law of sabaqat rahmati ghadabi began. Okay? Yani his rahmah supersedes his wrath. And it is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the creation that he wrote in a book with him, Inna rahmati taghlibu ghadabi, that my mercy shall overcome my wrath. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam came to life, he sent him to the angels. He told him, go and greet the angels, say salam to them, and see what they say to you. That will be the greeting of your children. So Adam alayhi salam went to the angels and he said, assalamu alaykum, may peace be upon you. And the angels replied, assalamu alayka wa rahmatullah, that may peace be upon you and also Allah's mercy. So the angels added rahmatullah. And we should also do that. When we say wa alaykum assalam, we should add wa rahmatullah to that. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created for Adam alayhi salam his wife, Hawa. خَلَقَكُم مِّن نَفْسٍ وَاحِدَةٍ وَخَلَقَ مِنْهَا زَوْجَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created all of you from a single soul, and then He created from that single soul its mate. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hawa from the short rib of Adam alayhi salam. All right. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam, He brought out of him all of the souls, all of his children, basically, who were going to be born, their souls until the day of judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that when Allah created Adam, He wiped his back, and every person that He created among his offspring until the day of judgment fell out of his back. And this means that all people are the children of Adam, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and Adam was created from dust. So we are all related to one another. And that means that we should not feel arrogant and boast to one another and feel superior to one another and belittle one another and oppress one another. And then we learn that all of the people are the children of Adam alayhi salam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also described himself as one of the children of Adam. So we should keep this in mind, and this should keep us humble. Finally, we learned that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam alayhi salam and also his children, their souls, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the ahd alast from them. He made them take a covenant that He is their Lord, and it is only He that they will worship. He made them aware of Himself so that they know that Allah is their one and only Lord, whom they worship. So inshallah, we will conclude over here for today. And inshallah, in tomorrow's session, we will continue the study of the verses, and we will see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Adam alayhi salam knowledge. After creating him, He blessed him with knowledge. So we'll talk about that in the next class. If there's any reflections that you would like to share, anything that you, and any lesson, any point of reflection, please go ahead and share. Okay, I see in the comments, I can see the comments. If there's any reflection that you'd like to share, you can share that, and I would like to read it out, inshallah. Okay, excellent point. That since we are made from dust, all right, we should be humble, and arrogance does not befit us. Excellent. Very good. The importance of dhikr. Very good. The angels glorify and praise Allah, and we should also glorify and praise Allah, right? We should develop this angelic quality within ourselves. It doesn't mean that we will become angels, but we should develop this good quality. Okay, good. The difference is in the soil. Good, that Adam alayhi salam was created from. It makes so much sense that because he was created from different types of clay taken from different parts of the earth, this is why people vary in their nature, right? And also in their appearances. Yes, and we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the fact that He made us the children of Adam, and Adam alayhi salam, whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose over the rest of the creation in so many ways. Excellent. Alhamdulillah. Okay, inshallah, we will conclude over here. Barakallahu feekum. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.